ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Jim, look alive. It's time for a guess the quote right off the top of the show, because it's going to be a big, big, big show today. It may explode. Who said, a timely and powerfully reasoned argument that it's time for liberals to reclaim ownership of Christ as he was, an outlier, a passionate but rationalist revolutionary who spoke to the best in us. Who said that of the new book, Jesus Was a Liberal?
Black Sabbath.
That's a good guess for first thing out of the box, but no. Gary Trudeau. Said that about the new book, Jesus Was a Liberal, Recurring Christianity for All. Reverend Scotty McLellan will be our guest.
McLennan.
Not McLennan.
Oh, I'm so sorry. That would have, we'd have to have an ISDN line to Tel Aviv for that one. Scott McLennan, the author of the wildly popular new book, Jesus Was a Liberal.
Tel Aviv.
It was not written in.
Tel Aviv.
No. He will be our guest.
Nor was it written in Hebrew.
He will be our guest this hour on the Celebrity Hotline. Jim, who said of the new book, Thanks for the Memories, George, a damning indictment of the Bush administration, even by damning indictment of the Bush administration standards. Who said that?
The White Stripes.
No. David Haverbaum. He's the former head writer and EP of The Daily Show. You may have heard of that program. He said that of the new book, Thanks for the Memories. The author of that book, Mike Law, will be on the Celebrity Hotline next hour.
He was a writer for The Onion.
Yes.
Yes. Love The Onion.
Jim, who said Flubia, Incurious George, The Decider, The Texecutioner, Torturer-in-Chief, Daddy's Little War Criminal, Walker, Texas Danger? We know him by so many names, but the time has come for George W. Bush to pass on the torch of liberty, which he hath dampened with his own pizzle for 8 long years. Who said that?
The Moody Blues.
No. Mike Lowe, the Onion writer and the author of the new book, Thanks for the Memories, George. He will be on the Celebrity Hotline next hour.
That's right.
Here on the Stephanie Miller Show. Oh, who can pick one memory to thank him for?
The Iraq regime continues to possess and conceal some of the most lethal weapons ever devised.
Active chemical munitions bunkers, mobile production facilities.
Thanks for the memories.
Saddam Hussein has gone to elaborate lengths, spent enormous sums, taken great risks to build and keep weapons of mass destruction.
Saddam Hussein is determined to get his hands on a nuclear bomb.
Thanks for the memory.
It is only a matter of time before terrorist states armed with weapons of mass destruction develop the capability to deliver those weapons to U.S. cities.
Bills we never paid.
How lovely it was.
Terrorists are doing everything they can to gain even deadlier means of striking us.
We're parted by only a slight thing.
We know he's got chemical weapons.
I wonder if we did the right thing. Thank you. Thank you so much.
I'm getting all teary just thinking back.
No, you're not.
All right. Speaking of Dick, Liz Cheney is going around saying Obama is siding with terrorists. We're going to hear from her father in stand-up news today. And also, Shirley Jones, the Mrs. Mom Partridge might be posing nude. We'll hear about that in Tinsel Talk. All right. Meanwhile, things in Pakistan, of course, heating up. My future husband, Senator Russ Feingold, on
that. I do remain concerned that the plan for Afghanistan and Pakistan has the potential to escalate rather than diminish the threat.
Jim, the former bachelor governor, Charlie Crist of Florida.
The exceedingly neat and tan former bachelor governor.
What are you insinuating?
Loves his wife, running for governor.
And I want to serve where I can serve the people of my state the very best. And I believe that to be in the United States Senate.
Oh, it's going to be another Republicans eating their own because Rush doesn't like them. And it's getting good now.
Lots of people don't like them.
Michael Steele said something yesterday, and so that's all. We'll get to all of that. And by the way, did you know that apparently Perez Hilton, he's Satan.
Is he?
California. That Satan was trying to tempt me and asking me this question. And then God was in my head and in my heart saying, Carrie, do not compromise this. Mm-hmm. You know, you need to stand up for me. You need to share with all these people. If there were 95% of the people in the audience that were gay, mm-hmm. you need to witness to them.
Mm-hmm. They don't need witnessing to. Thank you very much.
Oh my God.
That may have been the crystal meth talking.
God told her.
In her head.
God told her what to say to Satan.
I have no information that she does crystal meth.
Wow. That's mm-hmm. God told her what to say. You see, God on her side, Perez Hilton, and the rest of the homos, they are the Satan, represented by Satan.
Everybody knows that.
They just happen to be witnessed to what?
Wow. This just gets betterer and betterer. You know, her press conference was 9 minutes yesterday. She had that little 9-minute statement.
That was even longer than what's his name spoke, the Donald.
I know. She spoke longer than the Donald
did
yesterday.
You know what? Shut up.
And she did nothing but witness to the homos. Thank you very much.
All right. The torture debate also heating up. Boy. Here's the difference, you know, between the... I was just thinking this morning, Christopher, the difference between Republicans and Democrats. Fox News, they marched in lockstep with
yes.
the Bush administration.
Yes, they did.
They march in lockstep with the Republican Party, with whatever the talking points are. Sean Hannity will defend anything that a Republican does. Democrats, we're willing to throw one of our own under the bus if need be. We actually have principles of some sort. Nancy Pelosi, we've been getting a little about.
I was really, really hinky on
and
her.
And if she must be thrown under the bus for to stand up for the American way of life and that we are against torture, then so be it. I sort of understand, but it is a little slippery.
But it's, she's being actually, Clinton-esque.
What's that?
Cheney more or less admitted yesterday that she wasn't in the loop.
What's getting confusing about
this. She admitted
that
she was kind of in the loop.
Yeah.
So,
I guess the latest breaking news on this, a source close to Nancy Pelosi now confirms to CNN that Pelosi was told in February 2003 by her intelligence aide that waterboarding was actually used on the detainee. Exactly.
Yeah.
Pelosi reportedly didn't object because she had not been personally briefed about it. Only her aide had been told.
That's slippery. Mm. Come on.
Yeah. What? How did you read that, Jim? What Cheney said?
I'm trying to remember exactly what the wording was, but it certainly sounded like she wasn't completely in the loop. He wasn't there.
Right. I will say that what you said yesterday, I think, is true. Is that I think some of the Democrats were set up.
Oh,
like
yeah.
You said.
Sure, you're let mm-hmm. into the treehouse so that you're contaminated.
Right, but a lot
this,
of
but
Democrats...
You can't tell anyone anything
right.
because it's yeah,
a lot possible. Of Democrats now are coming out and saying, but we weren't told specifics, but you're right, just enough to implicate them.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
That's what I mean. Maybe that's
so
why Dick Cheney
cover.
Feels like, you know, he can shoot his mouth off because it's like, oh, well, they all knew, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The latest story, Nancy Pelosi learned in 2003 the Bush administration was waterboarding terror detainees but didn't protest directly out of respect for appropriate legislative channels, said a person familiar with the situation Monday. The Pelosi camp's version of events and has tended to answer two key questions. When did she first learn about waterboarding? Why didn't she do more to stop it? Pelosi has disputed a CIA document released last week that shows she was briefed on waterboarding with, what's his name again?
Abu Zubaydah.
Zabadapati.
Abu Zubaydah.
Abu Zubaydah.
It's kind of easy.
Easy for you to say. Pelosi has said she was told then only that the Bush administration was considering using certain techniques that it had the legal authority to do so. There's no dispute on the February 4th, 5 months after that, officials briefed Jane Harman
mm-hmm.
and an aide to Pelosi on the specific technique, the waterboarding. Harman, so alarmed by what she had heard, she drafted a short letter to the CIA to express profound concerns with the tactic, going so far as to ask if waterboarding had been personally approved by the president. According to the Pelosi confidant, the Pelosi aide told Pelosi about the briefing and then later informed Pelosi that Harman was drafting a protest letter. Pelosi told the aide to tell Harman she agreed with the letter, but she didn't ask to be listed as a signatory on the letter, and there's no reference to her in it. Pelosi and Harman, as you know, have been sometimes bitter rivals. They've not discussed the controversy since it broke 3 weeks ago.
Huh.
So that's why this does get a little bit confusing. The Pelosi confidant who spoke to Politico on the condition of anonymity insisted Pelosi did all she could have done. She felt that the appropriate response was the letter from Harman because Jane was the one who was briefed. Pelosi never got briefed on it personally. When Harman got a no response from the CIA, there was nothing more that could be done. To some degree, I understand part of this. It's like we keep referencing the Jay Rockefeller about warrantless wiretapping. There was nothing he could have done. You can't go talk to the press because
right.
it's national
mm-hmm.
security. He objected in a letter. He put the letter under lock and key, but, Pete Hoekstra said if Nancy was so concerned about the waterboarding, why did she let someone else write the letter? Which I have to say, I see his point on that. A chief of staff to former minority leader Dick Gephardt said, coming so soon after the attacks of September 11th, it would have been difficult politically for Pelosi to do more to protest interrogation techniques. Mm-hmm. That's the whole point, politically, exactly right? Because right? you're right. It was It was an environment of real fear back then, but that's why. See, that's why I loved Barack Obama speaking out, because you have to remember back then it wasn't easy to speak out against the Iraq War. It was this patriotic fervor was going around. You know,
yeah, and 80% of the people were for going into Iraq. That's absolutely stunning number now, but that was the truth back then.
Right. Well, because as we talked about, the quote-unquote liberal media, they were scared to death, too, to not look patriotic.
Well, so they couldn't refute Bush's claims that, Saddam had nothing to do with it. Oh, you hate America! I mean, there was this propaganda onslaught.
But that's why you look back more at people with a judgment like Barack Obama, like Al Gore, by the way. You know, at least Al Gore, as a former vice president, was speaking out about things that I think were really, really critical to the country. He was the one saying, this is bogus. Mm-hmm. This war is, not necessary. So anyway, this aide to Gephardt says, you have to remember in the 2002 period, the whole atmospherics, it was all about scaring people every day. People were legitimately concerned we were going to be attacked again. There was a constant drumbeat coming from the Bush administration of bad things could happen. No one wants it to happen on their
Which
watch.
Which was the whole point of letting 9/11 happen in the first place.
But as a Democrat, let me say, I wish Nancy Pelosi had more courage.
Yes.
Politically or otherwise, then, and I understand it wasn't easy, but there is some confusion. Some Democrats are questioning the accuracy of the CIA's description, and Jim, this goes to your point yesterday, where some of these Democrats kind of set up, to Rockefeller, to John Rockefeller, took issue with an entry for February 4th, 2003 briefing in which a Rockefeller staffer was reportedly told how the waterboard was used. He said, we are not in a position to vouch for the accuracy of the document. Rockefeller has repeatedly stated he was not told critical information that would have cast significant doubt on the program's legality and effectiveness. This does harken back to the Iraq with the WMD. Mm-hmm. It's like, everybody saw the same stuff. We all saw the same intelligence. No, they didn't. Democrats were not showed this. They were showed cherry picked and twisted information on WMD. Former Senator Bob Graham of Florida, chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, said he wasn't told of waterboarding then either, despite a briefing entry indicating he was given details of Abu Zubaydah's interrogation. He said, I don't have any recollection of being briefed on waterboarding or other forms of extraordinary interrogation techniques or that guy being subjected to unexpected
Abu
and dramatic as that would be the kind of thing you would normally expect to recall even years later. So that's two other Democrats that are also telling a story similar to Pelosi. Democratic insiders all acknowledge, though, that Pelosi has not handled the media fear surrounding the torture briefings and what she was told and when in a timely or aggressive manner. So where do you come down on this? You know, I mean, I it certainly are shades of the twisted WMD intelligence that they were shown. And and a lot of us are like, how are we going to know? If they went so far as to twist things in the CIA memos, then how are we going to know what exactly? Only the people in that meeting know what was said. House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer defended Pelosi against attacks that she knew more about the torture than she let on. She was bound by the requirements of secrecy, said Hoyer. Republicans are simply trying to distract from the broader debate over what military intelligence officials did to detainees in overseas prisons, and that is true.
Yeah.
The issue is not what was said or what was known. The focus on what ought to be on what was done, which I think is true as well.
Neil Cavuto's trying to turn that into a Nixon moment. You know, what did she know and when did she know it?
Fox News is trying to do
please,
that.
Please, Rush did a whole tribute to Nancy Pelosi.
But
we have the information.
She didn't instigate the program.
We had torture because of Nancy Pelosi, and so she is a hero. blah, blah.
She had nothing to do with
it. Yeah, so now the story becomes Nancy Pelosi.
That's right.
Not the fact that the Bush administration ordered torture.
Yeah, but she knew about it. She didn't do nothing to stop me. It's her job to stop me, and she didn't do it.
And so that's
my fault.
That is an admission that they tortured.
Yes.
In and of itself.
It's like the drunk driver that runs over a pack of Cub Scouts. See, you didn't stop me from drinking. maybe she was an enabler. I don't know.
But this might be a turning point in that, the former Bush administration may be admitting that they did torture, but they weren't stopped from doing so by Nancy Pelosi.
And once again, if Nancy must be flown under the bus, we apologize. However, we do actually have principles. Because if you notice, Keith Olbermann, Rachel Maddow, people like that, they criticize the Obama administration when they think it's warranted. Mm-hmm. You just don't see that on Fox News and on the other side. 21 minutes after the hour, where do you come down on this debate? More on the torture debate as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God, I am already having a fantastic time.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, the author of Jesus Was a Liberal, coming up in 10 minutes. Very exciting.
What's his name?
Scott McLennan.
Scotty. Reverend Scotty McLennan.
The Reverend Scotty McLennan.
Tel Aviv.
Okay. And tomorrow in hour three, Elvira, Mistress of the Dark.
Yes, Cassandra Peterson will be here.
Who is a friend of mine and asked if she could stay at my house. Well, she's in town tonight. And okay, I can say this because she's in hour three. Why? Because she doesn't get up this early because she's the Mistress of the Dark.
That's right.
So I can say this because she won't hear it. So we played a little practical joke on her. She's coming to stay tonight, and I found plastic bats, and I put them around the ceiling fan in her room.
She's going to love that.
Okay. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone
great
number. Toll free from anywhere. When you turn it on, it looks like they're flying. I'm an adult.
Yeah, you are.
Okay. Maybe I should dress as a vampire and hide in her closet.
You know, it must be great to be her because she works like 1 month of the year.
Exactly, and she's filthy rich.
Yeah, I know.
Whatever. Yeah, she can stay at the Ritz. Why does she need to stay at my house? I don't know.
Well, you do have a bridal path.
I do not. All right, Jay in Detroit on Miss California. Hello, Jay.
Hey, Mama Mook.
Yes.
With regard to Nancy Pelosi, I've got very little pity for her. I mean, slow people saw it way back when that the Bush administration doesn't share information. They only contaminate you so
right
that, you know, and then they'll stick you with the bag.
Yeah.
And then
listen, Jim.
And I wanted impeachment, and I thought I was losing my mind because I
yeah
think we've got all the grounds for it. And then Nancy Pelosi says, well, this isn't the time for that. And I just thought that was so strange, and now it's
well, you know, that's
clear
the thing about political courage. I mean, Jim Ward, he said it, for God's sakes. He's a voice guy, and he's like, I knew the WND stuff was bogus.
Right.
You know?
It didn't take Mensa to see that they were lying, and she allowed herself to get. We need progressive Democrats. I do not want Quislings, you know, in
yeah
the House. I can't handle it. And I'm not going to get derailed by Max Baucus for single payer.
Yep, I hear you, honey. I hear
thanks
you.
Thanks for using the word Quisling.
I was just
going to
say, I'm going to have a Mistress of the Dark in my house tonight, but not a Quisling. 28 minutes after the hour.
Maybe you might have an entity.
If only Barbara Hershey would stay, too. That would be awesome.
That would be.
All right.
Can
Reverend
I be the entity?
Yes. Reverend Scotty McLennan.
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 Ah,
author of Jesus Was a Liberal. Next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Could you turn that racket down? I'm trying to iron in here.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2. The phone number toll free from anywhere. Jim, I know you're a Doonesbury fan. Would you like a Doonesbury fun fact?
Yes.
Do you know who the model for the Doonesbury character Reverend Scott Sloan is?
No, I don't know.
It's Reverend Scotty McLennan.
Hey.
He is the Dean for Religious Life at Stanford University. If only there was someone else that knew some. Ah, who is it, Chris?
It's the author of Jesus Was a Liberal, Reclaiming Christianity for All, Reverend Scotty McLennan.
What a coinky ding.
Good morning, Reverend.
Good morning.
We're so thrilled to have you.
Oh, my pleasure.
I can't tell you how many times I've heard someone say, you know, Jesus was a liberal.
Exactly.
And I thought, someone should write that book.
You hear that all the time.
Well, tell us, you know, what inspired you to write this?
Well, I've been concerned about how the press is constantly talking about the religious right versus the secular left.
Mm-hmm.
And there's lots of us in between. There's
yep.
lots of us
yep.
who consider ourselves religious moderates, mainline, liberal or progressive. And I also want to reclaim the word liberal. It's come on very hard times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, it's interesting, Reverend, we've just been having this torture debate, and it has been raised that Jesus, as someone that was tortured, I'm guessing would probably be anti-torture, don't you think?
Absolutely. If you think of what happened to Jesus, I would hope that that would stop torture, you know, not all around the world. And it is astounding to me that we've gotten to a point where torture is permissible.
We should have tried that. Crucifixion. Good idea. Thanks, Reb.
Reverend, you know, I think this is the thing that a lot of us have been saying for years now, is why don't, you know, the religious, I guess, as you say, the religious right, as we call them in this country, why don't they ever talk about anything that Jesus actually talked about? I mean, you talk about in your book, the social issues, you know,
exactly.
the economic justice and environmental discretion, war, all, you know, how do you pretend that Jesus is on your side on that?
I mean, those are the big critical issues, and Jesus was clear about them, and so much time is spent on the religious right dealing with sexual issues. It seems to me that's all they care about, and I am very concerned that we finally get together. There are plenty of people on the religious right, obviously, as well as people on the secular left who are concerned about the big issues. Environmentalism is one where I think we're making some significant progress now with the National Association of Evangelicals, for example, that's made some quite bold statements
right.
in that area.
Right. Oh, I mean, you know, certainly we have Reverend Jim Wallace on, who we love, and you know, even Rick Warren, you have to credit with starting to talk about some of these other issues, except, like you say, it's just for years it has been just abortion and gay marriage. That's it. And frankly, like you mentioned in the book, things Jesus never talked about. I mean, what do you think, with obviously the gay marriage topic heating up, how do we know what Jesus would have said, do we?
Well, we don't know, except for his incredible openness and tolerance and his ability to reach out to those who were socially oppressed at his time. So his reaching out to the tax collector, to the prostitute, to the adulterer, he was somebody who was generous always and open always to those who were oppressed, the foreigners, the Samaritan.
Right.
That used to be a bad word, not a good word.
Right.
So it's quite clear to me that he would be somebody who, since his basic concept was the critical
inclusiveness.
Force of love,
right.
yes, and inclusiveness, of course he would be in favor of gay marriage.
Well, Reverend, did you read the recent Newsweek cover that you know, caused so much controversy, the religious case for gay marriage, which kind of makes, I think, the same point, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
So, you know, that's the thing. I guess I've never gotten that. You know, people base their whole religion on this man, people that call themselves Christians. He never said a word about homosexuality. That's what, and yet, why has that become their sole issue?
It is baffling. There's very little said in the Bible about homosexuality in general, just a few passages in the Old Testament and a few from Paul in the New Testament, and none of them referring to monogamous, adult, consensual relationships. So it is astounding, and I am quite baffled, honestly, as to why that's such a critical issue.
They do mention an awful lot about divorce, don't they, in the Bible? They do mention a lot about that being wrong.
There's a little bit, again, just a few passages.
Right.
And Jesus was concerned about the liberation of women in his time,
mm-hmm.
and wanted to make sure that they weren't oppressed by being easily left by their husbands.
What a granola eater. But, you know, you talk about, there's been these studies recently, Reverend, where, you know, a lot more, you know, Americans are becoming just not religious at all. But I think you're right. It's because we've gone to this extreme with the religious right that I think a lot of people were just turned off by that, don't you?
Absolutely. And I want to open up dialogue with atheists, with agnostics, secular humanists, people who I think would be attracted to the message of Christianity if they didn't see it in these very stark conservative terms.
Well, and I think there just became a mean-spiritedness and an exclusiveness to the, you know, religious right in this country. As you say, they just got involved in politics and giving a lot of money to the candidates they wanted. And these two issues, you talk about abortion. You ask in the book, what would Jesus have thought about abortion? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's quite clear to me that abortion is a critical issue, obviously, in terms of the concern for the sanctity of life. And if I felt that life, in the sense of becoming a human person, occurred at conception, I would agree with people who are against abortion. But the biblical record, and certainly what I think Jesus meant, was that life begins at birth. We use, even evangelicals use the word born again, for example, to talk about becoming fully Christian. So the critical moment is birth. And before that, we have a potential human being, but not a human being. And that makes all the difference when you're talking about, obviously, none of us want a great incidence of abortion.
Right.
And we should work together, conservatives and liberals, to reduce the incidence of abortion.
Absolutely.
But there are times where it's tragically necessary.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is fascinating, though, what you point out, that, you know, the two issues that they seem to have, you know, really, you know, run their whole movement around are things that Jesus never said anything about.
Not a thing.
What about separation of church and state, which is also, you know, becoming a big issue with the gay marriage? What do you think, how do you think Jesus would have viewed the separation of church and state?
Well, ultimately, Jesus was killed by the state for being
yeah,
a political radical.
Right, right.
And so he was certainly engaged in political matters. He did talk about rendering under Caesar what belongs to Caesar and to God what belongs to God. But he was deeply involved in moral pronouncements that had an effect on the state. And so I don't begrudge the religious rights of getting involved in political issues. That's something that we in the religious left have done for a long time in terms of Martin Luther King and the civil rights movement and many anti-war activists who did it out of religious conviction.
Right.
But the matter is one of engaging in the political realm without trying to dictate just on the basis of your religion. You need to have a rational discourse where you have religious religion underlying but not dictating.
What do you think Jesus would have thought of Miss California, if you don't mind my asking?
Well, Jesus was very open to women of his day who were considered on the margins, prostitutes, adulterers, etc. And he really went out of his way to have women as disciples, the first person.
So he may have included gay people and people with body parts not given to them by God in his big tent, is what you're saying.
It was a big tent.
What about what about modern science? Because that's the other thing, that, you know, the religious right has become, you know, unfortunately, I think in many ways, very anti-science, you know, things that actually would help people in their suffering, whether it's stem cell research or, evolution. I mean, you know what I'm saying? There's so many issues that they become also the anti-science side of the aisle.
I would think that Jesus was very open to the science of his day. There seems to be indications of that throughout the Bible. But I was struck hearing from the Dalai Lama not long ago when he was asked, what if Buddhist theology and Buddhist science of meditation and so on is found to be contrary to modern Western science? And he said, well, that's obvious. We have to change the Buddhism. So I think Jesus would be very much in that same camp.
Well, right. The point you make in the book about science and religion are compatible.
Of course. Of course.
Yeah, but, you know, I just I love what you're doing with this book, because I think that there is such a as the president talks about a lot, there's a lot of what he ran on, don't you think, is common ground that we can disagree without being disagreeable.
Yes, and to move to a postpartisan era, not only politically but also religiously,
right,
to open up lines of dialogue. I
right.
want to be able to speak to the religious right.
Absolutely. Well, you know, and I kid about whether it's Miss California or, you know, we talked about abortion. I mean, look, there's a lot of people on the Democratic side that are they're very emotional issues, and you have to respect, you know, how people feel. So I think even the Miss California, you're not mocking her for what she believes. You know, that's fine. I disagree with her, but, you know, and I think that's part of the dialogue and moving forward.
Right. Absolutely.
If only someone were written a book, Jesus was... Oh, you did! Jesus was a liberal, reclaiming Christianity for all, the Reverend Scott McLennan. Thank you so much for taking time for us.
Thank you.
All right. There he goes.
Yay! He's awesome.
Yeah.
I hope Jim Walsh doesn't get mad at me for cheating on him with another inclusive reverend.
Inclusive reverends seem to be coming out of the woodwork.
Yeah,
and that's a good thing for America.
I don't know. It's the new religious craziness, talking about things Jesus actually talked about. 44 minutes.
Something tells me he even has respect for atheists, and so therefore I respect him. So,
44, yeah. As the official atheist of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Right.
Godless communist. 43 minutes.
I know I'm not going to hell, because I don't think it exists.
He went on record as saying, Jesus, against torture. I know. Crazy. Huh.
He himself was tortured by the state.
Yep.
Yes. Back to that debate as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
All right, this is my show, and it's a serious intellectual hour of discussion, and I want to keep it that way.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. What if Stephanie Miller was one of us? Just a flaw like one of us.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 48 minutes after the hour. If you missed the interview with the author of God or Jesus Was a Liberal, the Reverend Scott McLennan.
Scotty.
Then you suck.
Scotty. He goes by Scotty.
Even though you suck, you can listen to it later on StephanieMiller.com. It'll be posted after the show.
Just go to the little audio widget on the left side of the homepage at StephanieMiller.com.
And you didn't get his name wrong once.
I did not. 1-800-STEPH1.
Even though he was calling from Tel Aviv.
And I didn't call him Abu Zubaydah once.
Tel Aviv.
Abu Zubaydah.
1-800-STEPH1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Dave in Detroit on Dick Cheney. Hello, Dave.
But Jesus would have whacked Chavez. He didn't mention that.
Huh? Jesus would have liked Chavez?
No, he would have whacked Chavez.
He would have whacked him?
Yeah, according to...
I don't think Jesus is on record as for whacking.
No, that's what Pat Robinson told us, remember?
Oh, that's right. Got it now. Okay, fine. Okay, Dave.
Anyway, regarding Pelosi...
It must be hard for Pat Robinson to get through to God, what with Miss California on the horn with him all the time.
Right.
All right, Dave.
Right. Regarding Pelosi, I too agree. It's very similar, the situation that's unfolding, just like the WMDs, where the Dems backed down because there were a few quotes. I mean, they need to get some political courage here.
Thank you, Dave. There were people, exactly, in the WMD debate that had courage, you know, and some that didn't. You're right.
Well, the quotes were nothing. They were fed bad intelligence instead of...
I had some sympathy for that, and yet you have to admire the judgment of a Barack Obama who, you know, spoke out loudly against it when it was not popular.
Exactly. Regarding Cheney and we're going to get hit again. Somebody needs to remind Cheney that there's only been one attack in 240
Thank
years.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank
that
you.
Was on their watch.
Yeah.
Don't you wish, here's the thing, Dave, about the liberal media. Don't you wish someone would say that to him instead of letting him? Why are they giving him all this airtime and not saying that when he says we weren't attacked again? Why don't someone to his face say, excuse me, Mr. Vice President, the worst attack in our history happened on your watch.
And it was the only one. They make it sound like, like there were dozens. The other thing is...
And by the way, Mr. Cheney, the guys that did the bombing when Clinton was in office are in jail.
That's right.
Where's Osama bin Laden?
Well, that was an attempt, and they put him in jail. The other thing is that prior to 9/11, that administration had 50 warnings. Some of them were very explicit.
Yes, 52.
They used the words imminent like six times in June and July.
Dave, what's the state of journalism in America when you and I are coming up with a better list of questions for Dick Cheney than...
Yeah. Exactly. But now here's the question is, they had all that good information that they didn't act on. There was no torture used with that information that they got. Information that told them that there would be an attack within weeks and told them that Osama bin Laden was prepared to strike in the U.S. and they wanted to hijack planes. They didn't torture anybody. That information was there.
Yep.
I mean, good intelligence seeking doesn't need torture.
Did you torture the FAA, Dick, to get those 52 warnings that 9/11 was going to happen? There's another. Another question for Dick Cheney. I have a confession to make you, too.
What?
Dick Cheney is officially making me screechy. I apologize.
Yeah, you're getting kind of Hannity-esque.
I had a little too much Carnation Instant Bitch this morning. But if I have to see him on TV one more time, not getting challenged on any of his lies.
Do we need to give you a Xanax or something?
I think so.
Oh,
or five. no, the thing is, I think the condition of his going on the TV is that they don't ask him certain questions. And they want the get. You know, they want to have, we got Cheney.
Well, how is it a get when he's going to parrot the same claptrap?
Exactly. Yeah, but I'm sure that's one of the conditions. Don't ask me this.
You must let me parrot the same lies and claptrap that I did when I was in office.
If you ask me this, you'll be waterboarded.
Well, he also only goes on friendly shows.
Yeah.
You know, you won't catch him on MSNBC because they'll ask him real questions.
Yep.
Yes. Rachel's been asking very politely, as she does. Why was for it him to come on?
Project for the New American Century called for the very same attack that actually occurred on your watch a year later.
Brian!
That's one, the answer. I'd like the answer to that one.
There you go. Brian. Oh, I would pay cash money for the Jim Ward Dick Cheney interview.
Yes.
He'd bring the coffee cup, he'd do Dick Vader. Oh. Brian in Chicago.
Oh, hi, Mama. Hi.
Hello.
I am the official black punk rock guitarist of the show.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Oh, thank God. Cool.
Yeah, there's only a couple of us.
Yes.
So I have 2 points to make. First and foremost, did you guys see Schuster with Frank Gaffney last night on MSNBC?
Mm-mm. I didn't miss that.
Okay. He posed the question very well to him. He said, if torture works and it's so good to use, then why don't we tell our soldiers in Iraq to use it there, too?
Oh, I did see that. Yes.
Because, you know,
yes.
There's attacks there every day. We could stop all kinds of stuff. And he was like,
right.
Well, but that's different. They're soldiers. It's different. So there's that.
Right. No, but he made exactly the point. Why aren't we finding out where all the IEDs are?
Yeah,
why aren't
so
we torturing
great.
People left and right? Yeah.
Right. I mean, so there's that. But here's my thoughts on Pelosi. First of all, we should, you know, find out what she knew. But not only that, but what is her authority to do anything about it? I mean, it's all well and good that she knew something, but if it's something that she could not talk about
right.
because it's illegal,
right.
then there's that.
And I have given her that
right.
that benefit of that doubt, yes.
But I think this says so much more about the Republicans than about us,
mm-hmm.
because they think that we're like them. They think that if they say to us, well, you know, we might catch one of your guys, we'll say, you know what, let's not even investigate. Just drop it.
Mm-hmm.
It's better to not find out. Than
but here's the thing. Here's the difference. Is, you know, and I'm not saying every Democrat is, you know, is perfect, but, you know, we do have a tendency to have some actual principles. I'll give you another case in point. I heard someone from CREW on the air today, you know, Citizens for the Responsibility and Ethics in Washington.
Yeah.
They're going after Jack Murtha now. You know, and...
Yeah. And I can
and again,
see why.
They, and people, you know, they go, oh, that's a liberal organization. No. They,
no.
You know, and I love Jack Murtha. Look, he's a hero. You
a
know?
Genuine American hero.
And, but, and he had political courage speaking
yes.
out against Iraq. But, you know, again, if he's doing something untoward, you know, in terms of steering defense contracts to friends and family, then you
it
also
got... He was a nephew, wasn't it? Allegedly.
Yeah, you
that.
Also have
yeah.
to... Yes, you got to call that out on your side,
mm-hmm.
too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the difference. Sean Hannity will literally defend anything any Republican
right.
does.
He does it every night.
Yeah. Don in Rockford, Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, good morning. I just heard you guys for 7 minutes defend everything the Democrats did under these torture memos.
No, then you haven't been listening to this show.
I listen to you every morning on the way to work.
Well, you
I
have mean, good taste. Let's just start with that.
I know, but I mean, you said...
No, I didn't defend it. I said I can understand some of it. I also said I wish Nancy Pelosi had more political courage.
She knew everything that was going on.
You don't know that.
But you don't know that. That's the problem.
Unless you watch Fox News, then you know that.
She was Speaker of the House. She was Speaker of the House. That's number
In 2003?
Right.
No, she wasn't.
Okay, she became Speaker of the House and knew. Come on now.
Yeah, but she wasn't Speaker of the House in
at
2003 when she got the briefing.
These people, see, what you're
you
doing...
You can't drop something like that and then run, dude.
Yeah, exactly. No. Don't drop
she
that stink bomb on our show.
And went back as Speaker
hey,
of the House
I did,
to 2003.
I didn't bring up that Reverend Scotty guy who's spinning Christianity like a magician with a shell game.
What do you mean by quoting Jesus exactly?
No, he did not. He picked and chose Jesus. That's typical of...
Well, oh, and the religious right doesn't do that. They don't pick
Absolutely.
And choose.
I'm not a religious right fanatic.
I'm not saying you are.
But
how do you base your whole you know movement on two issues that Jesus never said a word about?
Well, for one thing, abortion and gay marriage destroys the fabric of society.
How?
Because it absolutely puts permissiveness and relativism as your new God. And that go out and look what's happening to our youth,
Don,
guys.
Don, how are two how are two people who love each other getting married in Iowa affecting your life?
I'm talking about the fabric of society is now anything goes.
No, it's not.
It is
you mean like
anything.
It's like we've pulled that one little
for
thread
Bristol
on the
Palin,
fabric
maybe.
And now the whole thing's going to unravel.
I don't want to talk about
it. It's like
that.
A sweater? Well, society's like a sweater.
Of course you don't want to talk about it.
You were just talking about it.
Wait. I will talk about it, but you guys got me at 9 o'clock, so I'm going to be... You're going to be going off here in a
second. Oh, this is a bad time for you?
Oh, yeah, it's a bad time.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, it's a bad time.
No, it's not good.
Didn't he call me?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, I can't talk now.
Yeah,
it's a bad time
no,
for me.
A good time to talk about that.
Yeah, it's like in a
Except
relationship when you want to talk, and then like and you're talking fine, and then suddenly he doesn't want to talk, and then he's like, I got to go. I don't want to talk. It's just because you don't want to talk about this. That's what you don't want to talk about. It's not that you don't want to talk. Oh, sorry. 57 minutes after the hour, back with stand-up news next.
gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. You can come live blog with us, like someone did about our right-wing caller that just said the gay marriage is like the pulling the thread on the sweater that will unravel the whole fabric of American society.
Whatever.
Yeah, and Rocky Mountain High, Colorado, on the live blog says, the Romans thought Jesus was dangerous to the fabric of their society. That's why they killed him.
Thank you. You're the smartest one past today.
That's my point.
We should kill people who... Wait.
Yes, because we had the author of Jesus was a liberal on. You can listen to that on StephanieMiller.com after the show if you missed that this hour, Mike Lowe, former writer for The Onion, the hilarious Onion, is here to talk about his new book, Thanks for the Memories, George, about George W. Bush. That'll do. Ooh, I don't want to let go of that, do you?
No.
And then next hour, Representative Chris Van Hollen, Democrat of the great state of Maryland, on the Celebrity Hotline as well.
We'll ask him about the economy. And about Nancy Pelosi.
And Pelosi. Slowly I turned.
And what she knew and when she knew it.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. All right. Hey, meanwhile, everybody, Social Security and Medicare reform. Oh, boy. Going broke sooner than we thought. Tim Geithner yesterday.
This year's Social Security report projects that the trust fund will be exhausted in 2037. 4 years earlier than the trustees projected last year.
Thanks.
Unless
the memories,
they get
George
rich people
Bush.
To pay their taxes and, you know, get rid of the
loophole
exclusion there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. That Iranian-American journalist was released yesterday.
I'm, of course, very happy to be free and to be with my parents again. And I want to thank all the people all over the world, which I'm just finding out about, really. Whether they knew me or not, helped me and my family during this period.
You know what, Jim? I'm going to guess Dick Cheney will go on TV today, and you know the reason she was released?
Why?
Because we tortured people.
Tortured some homeless guy, and that's the chick was released 5 minutes later.
I can't decide who's talking more, Dick Vader or Miss California. Uh-huh.
While I don't know who released the photos from this morning, I do know who released the photos that were actually just released of a few hours ago.
They're fired.
And I find it appalling that a professional photographer would violate my trust by releasing an unauthorized and inappropriate image taken in between pose shots on a windy day.
It was the wind.
Yeah, but she was looking seductively directly into the camera.
It was the
by
wind,
accident.
The wind of Satan.
The wind blew her in that direction,
it blew
so it
my
looked
shirt
like
off.
She was looking at the camera. Yeah.
She didn't have a shirt on. It was a vest. And she was pulling it aside, looking seductively into the camera.
Which, well, you know, one would think, gee, my picture's
it
being taken right now.
So irresponsible. I had no idea.
So let me get this straight. It's not the booby shots are not wrong. It's the photographer releasing them that's actually wrong. And of course, the homos.
And the homos. The homos are all
wrong. It was probably a homo photographer.
In the middle of the night, homos put fake boobies in my chest and forced me to pose naked for pictures.
Oh, the
Doesn't
wind.
That happen to everybody?
The wind, that's my favorite.
And then the wind did it.
That's the like, wind. They see the guy thing is the sun was in my eyes. That's the sports excuse. And for girls with the, you know, booby shots, it's the wind.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That was a lot more than side boob.
Marilyn Monroe. She had no idea
about the steam.
She
grate.
Had no idea that the wind blew up from underneath the grate.
The subway thing. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. You couldn't see my booth, could you?
Yeah, we could. Yeah,
all
we
right.
Could.
We have some breaking news out of Illinois, is it? Yes. Battery charges dropped against the ex-GOP boss's wife. You remember, this is our personal favorite story of a...
Oh, my God, no way.
Jim, you know who I speak of. Gary Skoyne. Skoyne.
Wasn't there beatings with a Guitar Hero guitar?
Get to that.
That's right.
A domestic battery complaint filed against the wife of former Cook County Republican Party boss Gary Skoyne. Was dismissed today when he didn't show up in court to testify against her. As you'll recall, and I hate to keep bringing it up because it's such an embarrassing story, but Mrs. Skoyne had been charged with beating her husband with her fists and a toy guitar.
Maybe he
after,
was...
Wait okay. for it. After she allegedly found him with two prostitutes in their...
In their rumpus room.
In the children's playroom.
The rumpus room.
Which is where she came by the Hannah Montana guitar. On March 8th.
Maybe he didn't show up because he was benched because of a skoin pull.
No, don't speak. Please, don't speak. Don't speak. No. Silence. Silence. Don't speak.
Should have stretched. I pulled my skoin muscle.
I wonder why he wouldn't have showed up to testify. Probably. He just doesn't want any more attention brought to this embarrassing story about him being caught with the two hookers by his wife who beat him with a toy guitar. Skoin. I bet you that's what he said. I bet you what relative was his, of his, back in one of his, you know.
Come the long line of people being hit in the head with
exactly,
guitars.
Exactly, that was also caught with hookers. It may have been some sort of prehistoric guitar. Okay, that'll be our name. Oh, heavens. All right. Christler, I think this will be the police report in your future.
Being hit in the head with a harpsichord. Now, that would hurt.
Yeah, that would hurt.
That's not a good name. Harpsichord is too long.
No, and I can't find a sound effect of someone being hit over the head with a harpsichord.
I bet you could if you look hard enough.
Do you know how long it took him to find...
Actually, that was kind of easy. Yeah. Because that's El Kabong from El the Kabong. Quick Draw McGraw
cartoon.
Yes.
Okay, Christopher, this will be the... What? Can I have my Dragnet music, please? This will be the police report in your future as a lover of cheeses. You praise cheeses every day.
Every single day. Love me some cheese.
I think unnaturally so, if you don't mind my saying so.
I still need to try tater tots with cheese. Mm. Oh, my God.
The headline is, man jailed after woman reports threat about cheddar cheese. A Myrtle Beach man was arrested after a woman told police he threatened her for forgetting to bring home cheddar cheese.
I would do the same thing. Seriously.
I know the question you're going to ask, Nessa. Was there drinking involved?
You forgot the cheese!
Yes, there was drinking.
I'm sure there was drinking involved.
A 29-year-old woman told police she was bringing in groceries and Richardson assisted her. She said when she went to the bathroom, Richardson kicked in the door and demanded to know where the cheddar cheese, was located.
Where's the bleeping cheese, bitch?
I feel his pain.
The woman, you would find this reasonable.
Yeah.
The woman said she went to her vehicle and Richardson followed her, where he broke a window by punching it and broke off two door handles on the vehicle, according to the report. That's a man that wants his friggin' cheese.
It's all worth it for cheese. Really?
Yeah. I guess they had it coming. Okay.
Well, if you forget the cheese, you deserve a damn beating.
Monster!
Oh, Munster
is good.
Munster is so good. That might be my favorite kind of cheese. Mm.
Jarlsberg, my favorite, Jarlsberg. For those of you.
That's stinky, though.
No, it's not.
No. Jarlsberg is like Swiss. It's like Danish Swiss.
Okay. Swiss, not my favorite kind of cheese.
Let's get to some news we don't want to lose, for God's sakes. What's the matter with you two?
Yippee. It's time for stand-up news. And now, here's anchor person... Stephanie Miller!
Gorgonzola, that's me. Gorgonzola is
what I think. That does stink. Our top story, attorneys for Senator Norm Coleman. Oh, did I say senator? I meant former Senator Norm Coleman. Have asked the Federal Election Commission for permission to use campaign funds. Pardon me. To pay his legal bills stemming from allegations that a Coleman confidant funneled improper payments to the lawmaker via his wife. So he wants to use campaign funds for his criminal case, does he?
Great.
Interesting. We have Norm's thoughts on that.
Hey, what's the hassle? Like, there's something wrong with me using my campaign money in my criminal case, but that might be in doubt because I need to use the dough for my official duties? Hey, I'm a Republican. Crime is my official duty. I don't have a picture of Randy Gold Fawcett Cunningham on my wall for aesthetic reasons, you know. Governor George Trucker Ryan, Jack Screw the Redskins Abramoff, Ted Intertube Stevens, Bob the Grease and Nay, Tom the Hammer DeLay. Oh, not convicted yet, Tom? Sorry, didn't mean to spill the beans. Yeah, that's my lineup of heroes. Good, solid Republican cloth coat crooks. Gets me choked up a little. Can I ever hope to fill those shoes? Am I up for the big con, the GOP grift, the big right-wing rip-off? You know I'm going to try, because winners always cheat, and cheaters always win. I'll tell you a secret. If you don't laugh, I'm going to emulate Cheney. Graft and corruption is all well and good, but this guy wiped his ass with the Geneva Conventions, the United States Penal Code, the Uniform Code of Military Justice, and who knows, maybe even the laws of Mars, Venus, and Jupiter. He's the big dog, and no mistake. Do I have an enemy to drop that caliber of turds on the lawn of society? I don't know.
But I'm sure gonna try to dream the impossible dream, to fight the unbeatable foe, to sing with a mouthful of chiclets, to pull the unspeakable cord. Oh.
Damn it, there go my dentures again. My dentist is expensive.
They're very glassy, his dentures. Heavens.
Very fragile.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, dear. And finally, oh, those Cheneys. That's a new sitcom
those
title.
Cheneys.
Oh, they just cannot shut their pie holes.
That's my dick.
I think that should be the name of it.
Yes.
Good job,
well,
Lord.
We already had That's My Bush.
That's
that
right.
was on Comedy Central.
That's true.
Yeah, so how do we do the sequel? That's My Dick.
That's My Dick. Liz Cheney assails release of detainee abuse photos as siding with terrorists.
Oh, boy.
Oh, she's the scampy daughter of Dick. She took to the television airwaves to assail the decision by President Obama to release photographs as ordered by
a
judge.
No, she's not
the
gay one.
She's the non-gay one.
She's the non-gay one.
The one they don't talk about.
She's the breeder.
She assailed the decision by President Obama to release photographs as ordered by a judge showing detainee abuse by American soldiers and CIA operatives in Iraq and Afghanistan. She said, I've heard from families of service members, from families of 9/11 victims, this question about, you know, when did it become so fashionable for us to side really with the terrorists?
What?
You know, for us to put information out there that hurts American soldiers.
Yeah, because no one's heard about it.
So your father was the one that sent them into the unnecessary war without the proper equipment, you see, so that's why that's kind of, you know, funny.
Yeah.
That she would... settling money. Oh, and also she's heard from the families of 9/11. Ah, I wonder if they have a question about, hey, how come the worst terrorist attack in our history happened on your dad's watch?
Yeah, while he was down in the bunker with Norman Netta. Mm.
Cheney said Obama administration officials seem only to be interested in releasing things that really paint America in a negative light and don't give the American people a full picture of what went on. No, they paint your dad, your evil father's administration in a bad light. That's what that does, not America. It's actually reclaiming America. Oh, I'm sorry. That's the longest setup ever. We have Dick Vader on this.
So the pipsqueak pretender to the throne, who has usurped the Sith prince and unjustly holds the levers of power, has decided to publish the pictures of the torturing that went on while the boy emperor was still having carnal knowledge of his office run. This is an outrage. This shall not stand. Not that I give a banter fart about image and law and all that puny Jedi twaddle. No, it's a matter of what shall stand and what shall not. You see, what with all being all burned to a turn, a hurt in my throat talking like this, and for Sith's sake trying to catch my damn breath, I'm worn out. And it's had its consequences, embarrassing ones. Let's just say the Lady Vader was being less than impressed with the reach of the old lightsaber, if you catch my drift, you pulling, snivelling dweebits. It got so bad I was forced to look down and proclaim, you have failed me for the last time. So I rustled up some amateur photography of certain acts of domination, and before you could say Yoda is a bug f***ing midget, I was giving the Lady Vader the old Benjeel sandworm on a nightly basis. Never underestimate the power of the dark side. I want those pictures back, and if you don't like it, you can go yourself with the 0504A extremely red object, which is also what you'll be when it's done with you.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Is it big? It's big and red.
I'm pointy and red.
Is it pointy?
Probably not. Okay.
That's all for stand-up news. I'm here all week. Tell your friends if you'd like more Jim Ward.
Oh, no. We are done with stand-up news. I'm sorry. I'm stupid.
You can go to the tile ad for Jim's website on stephaniemiller.com. 20 minutes after the hour, we have some more thoughts on Nancy Pelosi and the torture debate. Our thoughts and yours as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
See, that wasn't so bad, was it?
Ooh, I gotta say, that was fantastic.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Well, that's catchy.
Mm-hmm. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12.
Yeah, I'm in the shower every morning.
Sorry, it's not the Rolling Stones. Sorry.
David and San Francisco. A little something for everybody. It's a big tent.
I like her. It's just that particular.
We're a big musical
song
tent, Jim. David, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on torture. Go ahead.
Hey, greetings. You know, a few months ago, they Guantanamo released a fellow named Binyamin Muhammad. And when he was arrested, I don't know, many years ago, 6 years ago, 5 years ago, something like that, it was said that he was going to blow up some apartment somewhere in America. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden, all of the insurance companies started jacking up the rates of insurance premiums.
On the off chance that it might be your apartment building that gets blown up. Yeah.
Uh-huh. So if any right-winger out there, any left-winger, any apathetic, any rich man, poor man, they're all paying higher rates because of this. Now, Binyamin Muhammad was the fellow that they hung from a pipe for, what, 3-4 days at a time. They took scalpels to his testicles.
Oy.
You know, any number of different
I want you to know that Jim is actually eating a turkey meatball as you're speaking.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, along Jim's line, maybe he could come up with some little shtick on, you know, you've got all of these right-wingers, and they've all got these great big booming voices telling us with great authority, I'm scared all the time. I'm always scared.
Yeah, exactly. They're
afraid.
They're wrong, and they're really loud when they're being wrong. Yes, Chris?
I have a little bit of breaking news from Cub reporter Shano.
I was hoping for some shtick from Jim.
Oh, sorry.
All right, go ahead.
Shano on the live blog is reporting that on Fox News, Newt Gingrich is suggesting that Pelosi should have cut off the funds, used congressional power of the purse if she objected to torture. And then Shano says she did try as a part of the then minority. They were overruled by
Republicans.
And Shano makes a great point. The right so relies on short memories and general lack of information.
Like our caller earlier said, well, why she was the Speaker of the House, and well, she wasn't yet, but so what's your point?
She was going to be, and
she
should have known that.
She should have known that she was going to be.
All right. Regina. Regina in Oakland on Nancy Pelosi. Hello, Regina.
Yes, hi, Stephanie. I just wanted to make a couple of points.
Mm-hmm.
My first point is Dick Cheney has his daughter shilling for him.
I know.
What a man, huh?
Ugh, his wife makes me... Oh.
I just threw up in my mouth a little bit.
Seriously.
He's really a man boy. You know, like Bush, somebody's always had to clean up after him since the day he was born.
Yep.
These are not men. And when they all start blaming Pelosi, they sort of give away their power to her in a twisted way. They make her the all-powerful.
Mm-hmm.
She should have done something.
Yep.
Who's really in charge?
Yeah, they're the drunk, and she's the enabling wife, apparently, right?
Yes, it's amazing. And I'll just end it with this. I think this new beauty queen, California girl, would be quite, and I call her a girl because she's such a little idiot. Well, I think she would be perfect on Fox.
Oh, yeah, she's been making the rounds on
listen,
Fox.
Listen, Elizabeth Hasselbeck is sweating, I'm telling you. I am telling you what.
Yeah, she was on, I think, Hannity last night for like a two-segment interview. Yeah. This Carrie Prejean or whatever.
Oh, yeah, because they know that they'll be embraced by that whole right-wing wacko community, the Hannitys and Limbaughs and whatever. By the way, we are not for name-calling, though, and you are an idiot to call her a name. So there. You were right. Perez Hilton went over the top. That's why he, you know, when he gets... But there's no need... She's not wrong on the issues. There's no need for name-calling of the fake boob homophobe. All right, 28 minutes after the hour. Writer from The Onion next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Prepare to be knocked on your ass.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Our friends Frangela on Oprah today.
That's
don't forget.
Right. good for them.
Yes. We have Friday every Friday with Frangela. Well, so there, Oprah.
Mm-hmm.
You only get them once. So there. Hmm.
How many times have you been on Oprah?
None.
Okay.
All right.
She's been in the meadow.
All right. Oh, gosh. You know, we often just sit here and we reminisce, don't we, about George Bush and his, oh, goodness, you know, the treaties that have been broken, the invasions that were launched, the people who've been tortured, the globe that's been warmed, the elections that have been stolen. Oh, if only someone shared our reverie, that would... Yes! Why, who is it, Chris?
It's the author of the new book, Thanks for the Memories, George, Mike Lowe, former writer for The Onion.
Love us some onion. Good morning, Mike.
Hi there, Stephanie.
Hi. You know, you'd think this is like an acid flashback, something that people don't want to relive, and yet you make it hilarious.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah. It's hilarious, and, you know, it's good for us, you know. We do need to just take a really hard look at the whole thing at this point.
Well, you know, it's like this torture debate, Mike. It's like, oh, that's in the past. Let's just move on now. It's like, well,
right.
Yeah. So who was it that said you can't turn the page until you read the page, right?
That's right. Yeah, and I wrote some pages here about it, yeah. I actually cranked this book out in, like, 6 weeks, right at the end of the Bush era. And, you know, at that point in time, it was the right time to take a look at the whole entire ball of wax.
Well, you know, it's interesting that your book is described as humorous yet furious. And it is amazing, right, how there was George Bush brought so much comedy, and yet it was about such serious and unbelievably infuriating things.
It's true, yeah. And it's hard to deal with that, I don't know, personally, without resorting to some sort of humor, you know, without resorting to some sort of kind of dark, you know, wit about the entire thing, just to kind of keep your own spirits up, I guess.
I love some of the names of your chapters. His Relaxing Vacations, Bush puts the R&R in the War on Terror.
Yeah, that's right. You know, I mean, for a guy who always said that we're under constant attack at any time, he really definitely took his time off, you know. He was always kicking back. And
yeah, we were saying that, you know, Obama's first 100 days, I think George Bush was on vacation for most of his first 100 days, wasn't he?
I think you're right, yeah. And I actually got out the calculator right at the very end, you know, January 20th, got some information, you know, on some research, and I figured out that George had spent 33% of his entire presidency on vacation at just Camp David and the ranch down in Crawford, Texas.
Wow. Wow.
33%.
Well, you know, we've been talking about Dick Cheney going on TV every day and talking about how there hasn't been an attack and that no one's saying, well, except for the only one we've ever had on your watch. But you remember that. I mean, George Bush barbecuing that memo while he was on vacation that basically said Osama bin Laden is determined to strike in the U.S., planes, buildings, yada, yada, right?
Oh, of course, yeah, yeah. I mean, and it goes farther than that. I mean, that's common knowledge at this point. But, you know, it's been reported that you know, that Bush issued an executive order, you know, several months before 9/11, telling the FBI to back off of the bin Laden family, telling the FBI to cease investigation into, you know, Osama bin Laden's relations in the U.S. It's all very strange. Yeah.
You know, Mike, you'd think the liberal media would have covered that in greater length.
Well, yeah, you know, that's what I've been hoping for the past 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a ton of information, I mean, about 9/11 that's, you know, there's a certain class of people that don't go to jail in this country, you know, and there's a certain class of people that don't get investigated.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and
I mean, that's there's something's gone awry when we get most of our truth from people like you and the Daily Show, you know. I mean, it's
well, yeah. I guess I'm kind of a free operator, you know. I mean, it's always kind of interesting, you know, like when people talk about journalists and they say things like, "Well, if there was something, you know, sort of, you know, strange going on with 9/11, of course a journalist would break that story, you know, and that would be the biggest story ever.
Nope.
They would break it.
But they haven't.
No, they can't. They get gagged, you know, like
right.
Civil Edmonds, you know, like,
right.
I mean, any number of people that just get shut down. I mean, these are top-down organizations that, you know, have people on the top that, you know, don't want you pursuing certain stories. So,
speaking of which, chime in on the torture debate. I love your chapter entitled "Our Global Terror Network Zapping Terror in the Genitals." What do you make of this whole torture debate and Pelosi, etc.?
Well, I mean, the Democrats were just like swept along, you know, in 2003, like in this atmosphere of incredible fear and power that Bush was able to grab after 9/11. And I guess, you know, they just marched in lockstep, really, with Bush. It's all kind of the same operation, you know.
Well, it speaks to this environment of fear that the Bush administration really created, because you're right. I mean, you wish the Democrats had showed more political courage, but you're right. The WMD thing, the torture, it's like, you know, I think they, you're absolutely right. In some ways, they were, you know, shown twisted or, you know, misrepresented things, whether it was about torture or the WMD. And at the same time, you go, yeah, I wish you had more backbone.
Yeah, and of course they also probably saw Bush's approval numbers, you know, soaring with this whole G.I. Joe kind of fantasy, you know, like he was, you know, selling to us. You know, Cobra Commander is out there, and he's the one who's going to be able to stop him. And the numbers were great. People were loving it, you know. I mean, except for people who would actually read.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I guess, you know, many of those Democrats, yeah, except for good old Russ Feingold from my home state of Wisconsin, just about everyone else was down for Bush's plan. And at this point, you know, it doesn't. They don't want to go back on their record, I guess. They don't want to sort of be revealed.
And I like that Russ Feingold is asking questions of the Obama administration now on the plan in Afghanistan and Pakistan, because you're right. It's like if we don't, we have to learn something, right? Like never again. You know, never again are you going to just lay down and go, okay, this is the common wisdom and we got to do this.
Oh, yeah. I mean, what is the plan in Afghanistan, you know? I mean, crack a history book. I mean, how many empires have just been shattered in that land? You can't conquer it. You can't, you know, enforce your will there. I mean, it's... And what are we doing? You know, like the president of Pakistan just came out yesterday and said that, well, Osama bin Laden is dead. You know?
Yeah.
Did
I've been saying that for years.
For years, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just like, what are we doing here? You know, I mean, I would love to.
He was just sort of taunting David Gregory on Meet the Press the other day. Did you see him? He's like, I'm not the one that let him get away, Tora Bora, you are.
Yeah. Don't look at me.
And then he asked if he has nukes. He's like, even if I did, I wouldn't tell you.
it's a complicated world that George Bush dropped us into. I mean, you know, between Pakistan and Afghanistan and India and the Taliban and the Shiites and it's
what
like
a mess.
Good old down home guy from Texas. It's like
I know. Well, now it's like
welcome America.
Now it's like whack a mole. Now the Taliban are in Pakistan, and you know that now they're a problem in Pakistan, especially if they get a hold of nukes, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And, of course, well, you know, I mean, we've done everything to encourage the rise of these guys, you know. I mean, you know, we're the ones who funded them, you know. We're the ones who gave them all the money. I mean, all those like, you know, Al-Qaeda-style fighters, you know, all the Arabs and Chechens from all over the place that came to Afghanistan to fight the Soviets, those are the guys that we were digging. Those are the guys that were the most hardcore and the ones that we gave all the Stinger missiles to.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, well, the guy who did that was the big new Brzezinski, you know, who is Obama's handler at this point, you know, Jimmy Carter's old, you know, advisor.
Yep.
This is the same game that's just kind of being played out, you know. It's
Mike, obviously the economy, you know, one of the biggest issues. Tell us about your chapter on the economy, the welfare queens of Wall Street. Tell us what that means.
Well, it's basically, you know, yeah, just exactly that, the welfare queens of Wall Street. I mean, just Bush just, you know, sailed that $700 billion or whatever it was, you know, just straight to him, no oversight, no questions asked. You know, and right on CNN, you've got a congressman from California saying that they were threatened with martial law in this country if that money wasn't handed over, if you remember. Mm. You know, the American people said, no, this is a terrible idea, and we're not down with this. And Congress actually voted no on that. So,
yeah, you know,
you know,
I actually...
The Bush team came out with a martial law threat, you know?
I actually, you know who's actually making a lot of sense on this is Elliot Spitzer. I saw him last night on MSNBC. And once you get the hookers, you know, thought bubble out of your head, you know, that's what he's saying. We're propping up the same institutions in the same way, and this is going to happen again.
Well, yeah, yeah, it's true. I mean, it's kind of a Band-Aid, you know, on a system that's pretty broken at this point, you know. I mean, just having these guys, you know, you have a gutted-out SEC, you have, you know, like, no risk, no consequences for all the risks that they took, you know. All of us just bail these guys out and, you know, so that they can, you know, keep their incredible mansions in Greenwich, Connecticut and... you know, it's...
Yeah, listen, I can express...
We're paying for the Powerball tickets at this point. We're the ones paying for their lottery tickets,
yes.
You know?
Listen, I can express the toothless populist rage with the best of them. Where's my bailout? All right. Mike, you know, the Bush administration, like the mafia, just when you get out, you get pulled back in again. The book is Thanks for the Memories, George. You won't think you'll enjoy it, but you will. It's hilarious.
That's
Mike Lowe's new book, Thanks for the Memories, George. Thanks for coming on with us, Mike.
Thank you very much. Yeah, and I'm glad you liked it. Yeah.
Thank you. All right, sir. Thanks for your time. There he goes, Mike Lowe from The Onion, the hilarious Onion.
Let me get this straight. Bush told the FBI to back off on bin Laden. They fly the bin Laden family out of this country right after 9/11. We let bin Laden go at Tora Bora. I'm seeing some kind of pattern here. No, that's crazy.
All right, 43 minutes after the hour.
I'm wearing conspiracy theorist.
Michael, my right-wing love muffin from Indiana, says, I am filled with venom. We will find out why.
Okay.
As we continue.
Don't bite me,
you snake.
As we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
But that just seems intentionally confusing.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 48 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Michael, my right-wing love muffin in Indiana, says I'm filled with venom. Hello, Michael.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I find it interesting that your producer only heard me say that part and apparently didn't hear my question.
Okay.
My question for you is this.
Was her question, would you like to suck the venom out?
Pardon?
Never mind.
Mike, and I'm being completely serious. I don't take this as sarcasm.
Okay.
As I listen to you, I would seriously like to know what it is that you think is wrong with conservatism.
Oh, and all right. How long do you have?
In your answer, don't tell me what it is that someone's done or some group has done. I'd like to know what you believe to be our basic principles.
Well, that's the problem.
What do you think are wrong with those
Michael,
principles?
That's the problem. I don't know if you've heard me say it before, but my dad ran for vice president with Barry Goldwater in 64. In my opinion, even if I didn't agree with all of them, they had principles then. And this Republican Party, I don't recognize anymore. I don't think my dad and Goldwater would recognize this as the conservative party anymore.
Well, let me suggest to you that
I mean, but do you understand that what you guys are calling socialism now, you're paying less tax than under Ronald Reagan, your hero? I mean, this Bush administration handed us a $1.whatever trillion deficit. Is that conservatism?
What principles do we have?
Answer her question, Michael.
Wait a minute.
No, answer her question.
I understand that the Republican Party has gone too far to the left, and
the Republican Party's gone too far to the left.
Yes, I believe
that. My dad was a prosecutor at Nuremberg. I don't think that he would think the United States of America should stand for torture.
Well, be that as it may, if you believe that that's what conservatives...
And holding people at Gitmo forever on no charges, I don't think he would think that's what the United States of America is.
That's a basic conservative principle.
What's that?
You believe that to be a basic...
Well, apparently torture is one of the principles of the conservative party right now.
You believe that? All right. What about the principle of smaller government? I believe in my individual
smaller
rights
government.
To keep and bear.
Michael, the Republican Party has not stood for smaller government for the last 8 years, if not longer.
Conservatism stands for.
Uh-huh.
I'm asking you not to mix up the modern Republican Party with conservative.
Well, then
principles.
You need to break off and form your own conservative party. It sounds
that
like
that can't possibly happen, and you know it. The third party can't
so, Michael, let's get back to why. How am I filled with venom? Because I'm pointing out the same thing that a lot of people have pointed out.
By the way,
Julie Nixon, Eisenhower voted for Obama.
C.C.
Goldwater, Ron Reagan. There's a lot of kids from prominent Republican families that feel the exact same way I do.
What principles should those of us who are conservatives ditch, and what principles should we accept? For you to think that we'd be on the correct track.
Well, I'd have to know what your principles are other than torture, as articulated by Dick Cheney.
I'll give you one.
Okay.
I believe that the operative clause of the Second Amendment is the second half. I have an individual right to keep and bear arms. Do you accept that as a principle?
But you have to take the entire Second Amendment as it is. You also have to...
You don't get to pick and choose which parts of amendments you agree
right,
with.
Right, for a well-regulated militia.
The weapons I own now should belong to a militia.
Are you a part of a well-regulated militia?
Of course not.
Okay. You have to take the entire Second Amendment. You can't just pick and choose the part that you like.
Michael, who's taking away your right to own a gun?
No one has.
Uh-huh.
But I know that there are liberals who don't believe I should be able to own a weapon. I think
well, I'm not one of them. I'm not someone that doesn't believe you should be able to own a weapon.
Did you just say that I shouldn't own a weapon because I'm not a member of a militia?
No, he was just pointing out what the entire amendment says.
Supreme Court months ago said that the operative clause is the second half.
Michael, we're not coming to get your guns. Is that what you think?
I believe somebody is, to be honest,
okay.
You're kind of a little bit paranoid, aren't you?
Michael, yes. May I just go on record as saying I think that...
If I think it can't happen, but that's... And I believe in smaller government, lower taxes, because I think that revenues of the Treasury...
We're paying less tax now than under Ronald Reagan. That's socialism to put the tax rate from 36 to 39%? That's socialism.
What's going to happen? happen with this tremendous deficit that we're getting because of all the money that's been paid out to where it shouldn't have gone in the first place?
George Bush gave us this enormous deficit. We're trying to do something to get out of this economy that he put us into.
Why not do it through the private sector? Why not do it with free market capitalism?
That's what got
that's
us here.
Exactly.
All right, Michael.
His lack of regulation that caused all this.
Let me go on record as saying I thought he had entirely more venom than I did.
Yeah, I think he's so. An angry, angry man who needs guns. It's always really angry, paranoid people who claim to need all these massive arsenals.
I don't want his gun, and I also made a very kind offer that he could suck the venom out of me, but no.
He glossed right over that.
Says no. Yeah.
Maybe he's gay.
Reject it again. Oh, now he's shooting the radio with his gun.
Sorry.
Michael in Los Angeles here on the Stephanie Miller Show on Miss California. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, hi. Yeah, I was curious. Did you hear Donald Trump's explanation why he wanted to keep Miss California's title?
Yes, yes.
Now, didn't he say that Obama represented the same opinion that he had?
Yes, that's true, true.
How come you're not criticizing Obama's stance on this?
I have.
Oh, you have?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So thank you for calling.
Yes.
All right, let's...
No, these people just don't listen to the show, do they?
No.
Oh.
Okay, let's just move on. I'm sorry, you know what? He paid for the sins of the first caller. My patience was sort of,
Yeah.
All right.
Shredded.
Yes. Tim and Madison, you're always harder on the first kid, you know what I mean? And then, anyway.
Yeah.
Tim and Madison...
At least I'm the second kid, so maybe I'll be get a little bit less tricky.
I'm lost the will to live now.
Yeah, okay.
My parents used to go to bed early by the time they had me. They'd just be like, what time did you get home? I'd be like, what time did you go to bed? 9. Oh, I was home at 9:15.
I did the same thing. You know, I consider myself a conservative liberal. And what I mean by that is that I believe in the conservative values of a smaller government and... fiscal responsibility. Under George Bush, we did not have smaller government. We did not have fiscal responsibility. We never even put the Iraq war on the budget.
Now, Tim, and by the way, Barry Goldwater, again, been quoted a million times, but, about gays in the military. You don't need to be straight. You just need to shoot straight. He was for also keeping the government out of people's private lives,
That's why if I was alive during your father and Barry Goldwater's campaign, I would have voted for him.
Thank you.
Truly would.
That would have made two of us.
Well, exactly. And I think the reason why was because he believed that the social issues that now the Republican Party has taken up in arms, that I think that's why the Republican Party has been so far taken out of our lives and we don't care about them really anymore. We don't want anything to do with them. It's because they put the social issues up front. It's no longer government. It's social issues. And quite frankly, I am from Wisconsin. I grew up. I'm a hunter. I know the Democrats. Probably does not want my guns. If they wanted my guns, I wouldn't have voted for a Democrat. I would not be in the Democratic Party.
You're a Democrat, and that means you've got to be poor, and you must have a sucky gun, so we don't want it.
Well, no, I don't have sucky guns, sorry.
If you had good, rich Republican guns, we'd want them. Let's go to Robert in Riverside. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hey, Robert.
Yeah. Hi, Stephanie. I have two questions. One, I just want to say I'm right now reading the Ronald Reagan Diaries. I'm a Reagan Democrat, and if you haven't read or listened to the Reagan Diaries, they're awesome. My two questions are, the gentleman...
I'm a Democrat that voted for Reagan, I must say. Yes. That was a long time ago.
The gentleman that discussed the Second Amendment, am I a part of... Just two questions. Am I a part of a well-regulated militia by virtue of the fact that I'm a now retired member of the U.S. Navy that's in the Ready Reserve? Second question is, how is waterboarding torture, but sucking the brains out of an infant that's 7 months old isn't torture? I'll take my answer offline.
Offline? I think he means off air. All right, I'll answer his questions off air. With 57 minutes after the hour. Boy. The mother of the Partridge Family may soon be posing nude. Oh,
what?
No. There goes her chance to be Miss California. Right back with all that on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere to join the party. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LeBoyer, voice deity Jim Ward, me, Stephanie Miller. Representative Chris Van Hollen, Democrat of the great state of Maryland, coming up on the Celebrity Hotline. And in hour number three tomorrow, Elvira, live in studio for all of hour three.
Yes, Cassandra Peterson,
who is a friend of mine, and she asked to stay at my house tonight. She's going to be on the show tomorrow. And she's not up yet. Why?
Because she's Mistress of the Dark.
Yeah, she doesn't get up this early, so I can tell you. I got plastic bats, and I hung them on the ceiling fan in her room.
That's funny.
Well, there goes the element of surprise.
She won't hear it. She's sleeping. Okay. Oh, it's funny. Before she gets there, I'm going to turn it on. Okay.
Yeah.
Lots of things going on in the world outside my little fun house. My future husband, Senator Russ Feingold, asking the tough questions about Pakistan and Afghanistan.
Are you sure that the troop buildup in Afghanistan will not be counterproductive vis-a-vis Pakistan?
No. I'm only sure that we are aware of the problem, that we are working intensely with the Pakistani army.
And he was asking that of Ambassador Richard Holbrooke, special envoy to Pakistan and Afghanistan.
Thank you. The father of the alleged Camp Liberty shooter is speaking out. You won't believe what he has to say.
They call an enlisted man in, tell him he's a country boy. Tell him, well, you're stupid, you know. You're 16 years and you're a sergeant, you know. We don't need your kind, you know.
And this just started happening recently?
Oh, that happened yesterday.
As he was going through these stress tests?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. And they turned him loose with a guy with a gun. And as soon as they got a little ways from the facility, he beat the crap out of the guy and took his gun away from him. He got charged with one case of assault and five cases of capital murder.
Wow, he was on his third tour, the Camp Liberty shooter.
Yeah,
so
he was speaking to a CNN reporter. That was.
All right, the formerly bachelor governor of Florida, Charlie Crist,
Neat and tan former bachelor governor of Florida.
At least it's natural, unlike the boner.
I don't know. I wouldn't be so sure that it's a natural kind of tan.
Hmm?
That looks like a little bit of bronzer there.
You think so?
I think so.
Maybe his lovely wife buys that for him.
He goes to the Clinique counter.
He buys her pantsuits, and she buys him a tanner. Anyway, Marco Rubio, he's the darling of the conservatives running against Charlie Crist.
I consider Charlie Crist to be a fine man, but the truth is that his view of republicanism is different from mine and different from what I believe is the majority of Floridians and Republicans in Florida and across the country.
Ooh, another exciting edition of Republicans eating their own. I think Jebby's going to be on his side and Boss Limbaugh. And, we got us another man fight. I'm sorry, what's that? Will Miss California shut up? No, apparently
my
not.
Grandfather served under General Patton during World War II. Uh-huh. He never spoke about the Battle of the Bulge that he participated in as a rifleman. On April 19th, on that stage, I exercised my freedom of speech.
What?
And I was punished for doing so.
No, you weren't.
This should not happen in America.
Sure it can.
It undermines the constitutional rights for which my grandfather fought for.
Oh, come on.
Wait, you don't have the right to be criticized for what you say?
I have the right to say what I want, and no one gets to say anything about it. That's freedom. What? No.
No.
How is she punished for it? She kept her crown.
She was criticized for
it. That's the whole point
of
the free speech
punishment
that her grandfather fought for.
You're not allowed to criticize me. That's what freedom means.
She's so arrogant.
And can I just say, even gay guys are going, oh, my God, what a drama queen.
She's going to be a Fox talking head.
Wow.
She must have been getting coaching from the people at Fox News, because that's what they say pretty much every night.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Hasselbeck is in a cold sweat. All right. This economy's still not doing very well. And, so that guy, the right-wing caller, just said that I'm full of venom?
Yes.
But at least I'm not this person. U.S. restaurant chain to probe snakehead in broccoli. At least you didn't find a snakehead in your broccoli this morning.
Snakehead, you know what? Roly-poly, snakehead.
Guess where?
Where?
TGI Fridays. And you know what else? TGI Fridays makes you have three ways with the governor, New Jersey, and his wife.
However, there's been a little bit of an update to this story since I sent it to you.
Really? No.
Yes.
Someone planted the snakehead?
No, lab tests have shown that the snakehead was not cooked with the broccoli.
Aha! Uh-huh.
So it looks like...
Well, it really shouldn't be. It ought to be poached separately. Yes, yeah, right. With a little bit of garlic.
What I'm saying is that it looks like the woman who brought these charges was the one who placed the snakehead.
Oh, so it was BYO.
So she could get a free meal or something.
BYOS to TGIF.
She read Steal This Book. That was one of the things.
So that, yeah. A little bit of an update to that story since I sent it to
Thanks
you.
Thanks for that.
Uh-huh.
Okay, let's check some entertainment news.
Damn, I should have cooked the snakehead. He's so dumb.
So stupid, stupid.
It's time for Tinsel Talk. Let's find out what's going on in Hollywood with Stephanie Miller.
I'll bet you that happens a lot at restaurants.
Oh, yeah.
Customers don't want to pay for it, so they bring something in their purse and drop it into the food.
There's a lizard tail in my...
Yeah. Okay. I mean, wasn't that the basis for Victor Victoria? I mean, didn't that happen in the first scene?
Hey, there's a mastodon in my cheeseburger.
Mastodons are extinct, sir.
They're extinct, damn it! Oh! Okay. Shirley Jones, who was the mom on, of course, The Partridge Family, might pose nude for Playboy at the age of 75 if her husband, manager Marty Ingalls, has his way.
Oh, he's a piece of work.
I've gotten in a shouting match with Marty Ingalls. He's a right-winger.
Yes, he is.
He went to one of my appearances and started heckling me.
I didn't think you can have a conversation with Marty Ingalls without shouting going on.
Yeah, I know. He said she's still drop-dead gorgeous at the age of 75, a natural beauty. I'm her husband, and I think it would be sensational. We have the rest of Marty Ingalls' thoughts, I believe.
Yes! Shirley's gonna pose nude for Playboy. I'm so freaking proud. Finally, the world's gonna see what I've been tapping all these years. Let's see Florence Henderson top that. Hey, wait a minute. That gives me an idea. Shirley and Flo nude wrestling in Western Oil. That'd be hot. But why stop there? Let's get all you old broads on the act. Cloris Leachman, Joan Collins, Joan Rivers, Betty White. And too bad Estelle Getty and Bea Arthur aren't around anymore. We could have an all-new Golden Girls revival. Old broads on ice. No, old broads in oil. With me in the middle, rolling around in oil and vinegar like some kind of septuagenarian meat salad. That'd be hot. Well, disgusting, depending on your point of view. Oh, I got it! Pay-per-view! Ka-ching! Who wouldn't watch that for $10.99? No? Too much? I guess it is too much. You're right! I'm making myself sick. Oh, no, I just ralphed all over my hats. My hats! Not stolen hats! My hats!
That's exactly what he sounds like. Okay. And finally, Brad Pitt has been making drunken calls to his ex-wife, Jennifer Aniston, has been claimed.
Allegedly.
Oh, dear. Yeah. Oh, dear. Drunk dialing the ex. The actor apparently has been opening his heart to Aniston about his miserable relationship with Angelina Jolie. Oh, this warms the heart of those of us on Team Jen. She was initially taken aback, especially as he sounded drunk and sorry for himself, says an insider. He told her he misses her and he's sorry for any hurt caused. Oh, no, don't worry. It was nothing.
It's all fine now.
Jen, being Jen, immediately told him she never held a grudge against him and would welcome them being friends again as long as she doesn't have to be friends with Angelina.
Yeah.
We have some audio on this, I believe.
Oh, man. It's 4 in the morning. I can't believe I'm doing this. Oh, it's ringing. Oh, what if she answers? Oh, it's being picked up. But Jen... Oh, crap, it's a message machine. What the... Hey, Jen, it's Brad. It's Brad, Jen. I got to talk to you. I miss you, baby. I miss you so much. I'm so sorry I left you like that. You gotta forgive me. It was the lips, baby. The lips closed over my head and sucked out my brain, and I just stopped thinking. But you don't know the hell I'm going through. I sure was exciting at first with the kookiness and learning how to kiss her brother. And oh, God, it never ends. The vials of blood and knives, the tattoos. Oh, I don't even want to tell you where they stuck the needle in me. It's so embarrassing. You wouldn't recognize your little friend anymore. But, oh, it's the kids. Every time I turn around, there's a new one underfoot, and they keep coming up from every damn where in the world, and the stretch marks are looking like parking lot spacer lines, and I just can't stand it anymore. Take me back, baby. I'm sorry I called you a dumb Greek cow. I miss your feta cheese, baby. Remember how you used to make little cannonballs out of Kalamata olives?
Oh, baby, come on, take me back, Jen, honey, sweetie, darling. Tell you what, I'll make you a deal. If you can forgive me for what's-her-face, I'll forgive you for Vince Vaughn. What do you say? Hello? Hello?
Brad! Who are you talking to? If you're talking to that bitch, I'll cut you again!
Help me. Somebody please help me.
Oh, no! Poor Brad!
Brad.
Oh, dear. That's all for... That's all for today. Brad is Katie Holmes.
He's being held in the compound.
He drunk calls Katie Holmes every night.
How do we get out?
Why would he call Katie Holmes for advice on how to get out? She hasn't figured
it out
yet.
She doesn't know. They just commiserate, that's all.
Yeah, okay.
If you'd like more Jim Ward, Balderall.
Check out Jim Ward's Apocryphal But True, for which there is a tile ad on the Stephanie Miller website, stephaniemiller.com.
Mm-hmm, boy, howdy. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so I guess the tweets were more entertaining than the actual Miss California press conference yesterday.
Uh-oh.
Gary Trudeau tweeted, minutes away, Trump to rule on moral fitness of semi-nude dits to stay in cheesy contest. Could cut suspense with chainsaw. David Schuster tweeted, everyone involved in this story, from Prigine to Terrell to pageant officials to Trump, everybody involved makes me want to vomit. And I'm guessing he's going to include Tag Romney on that.
Yeah, for some reason he was on Hannity last night, commenting.
He's Mitt's son, Tag.
Yeah.
Are they all baseball references? What's the deal?
Twip, Tag.
Twip, Tag.
Oh, God. Imagine if there's a Romney Palin ticket.
Oh, God.
All right, here's Tag.
Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton say it, but they don't really believe it, so it's okay. And here was someone who really genuinely believed it and was willing to be articulate about it and stand up for what she believed
in.
And the sad thing is that what we're coming to in America is free speech is becoming politically correct speech. If it's politically correct, we're fine with you saying it, but if you don't agree with my politically correct views, we don't want to hear from you. In fact, we're going to push you off the stage.
Wow.
No,
how
has she been pushed off the stage?
She's not.
She's very much on the stage.
There's the state of your Republican Party today, ladies and gentlemen. Articulate Miss California and Sarah Palin are the most articulate people.
Also, too.
I shall tell you.
You're not allowed to disagree with me. You have to let me talk, and you can't say anything. That's what freedom of speech means. My grandfather died for that. Well, a lot later, but it doesn't matter.
All right, 20 minutes after the hour. You'll never get Coolio, I know. It's shocking. Caught with drugs at LAX. You'll never guess what his excuse was.
Was he putting the flow back in your ear?
No, that wasn't it.
Okay.
That was one of the ones he tried, though.
Okay.
We'll tell you what it was as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is wild. I never heard anything like this in my life.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Get it. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Okay, Jim, what do you think Coolio said when they found drugs in his bag at LAX?
It's not my bag.
That's right. They're not mine. They're not my drugs.
Papa's got a brand new bag, and that ain't my bag.
He's the only person, apparently, that can answer yes to the, did someone else pack your bag?
That's you?
Yeah. I guess so. That's you and I. Okay, yeah, they're not mine. That's what Coolio says
about... Is there coke in it? Did someone else pack it? Yeah.
Mm. The 45-year-old rapper spoke to paparazzi Monday
Good
night at LAX.
Lord, he's 45?
Mm-hmm. Oh. He said the drugs belong to someone else. Last month he... it's weird to happen again last month. Last month he pled not guilty to one felony drug charge and misdemeanor counts of battery in possession of a crack pipe, which I assume that was also someone else's crack pipe.
Yeah.
He is very loosey-goosey on the packing of his bag, apparently. He said it was a situation I had no control of. Something was in my bag. I didn't even know it was in my bag. They could have done DNA and all kinds of stuff to find out it was mine, but they didn't. They just got the bag and assumed it was mine. Well, if there's a crack pipe in it, I would also say, oh, it must be Coolio's bag because there's a... Here's a little tip for you. Here's a little travel tip from Coolio, y'all. He says... If you do bring drugs to the airport, you don't put them in your bag. You put them in your pocket.
Oh.
Listen up, kids. Okay. Listen up, kids. Uncle Coolio has some little advice for you. You don't pack them. You put them in your pocket.
Just don't put syringes in your pocket.
Ow.
Sitting down should be a problem.
Okay.
That's why you bring a crack pipe, so you don't have to bring a syringe.
That's not the smartest travel tip I've heard lately.
Don't you know anything?
Okay. You know, packing your gooey things separate from whatever, that's a good travel tip. But I don't know, put the drugs in your pocket. Okay. All right. Oprah spoke Sunday to Duke University graduates and to let them know that it's fantastic to have your own jet.
Yeah. They'll be paying off student loans for a million years.
You know, in this economy, maybe she wants to hush a little bit.
No, don't speak.
Yeah.
By the way, I have a fun fact about,
Stephanie Miller.
Yes.
You have a jet?
No.
No.
I can't even imagine how fabulous Oprah's jet is, because I have flown in Oprah's banker's jet.
Ah.
And that was pretty nice. You remember when one of my failed TV shows, whenever that was.
Pure Oxygen.
Whatever.
Yes. We had to go do an event for Oprah somewhere in Chicago, some opening of something. And so I got to go on Oprah's banker's private jet. Or
whatever.
Wow.
I was a big geek the whole time.
Did they ply you with liquor and with food the entire way?
Yeah, I was nervous.
Wow.
Okay.
That's actually really, really cool.
She said, I'm about to name drop again. Okay. She said, I have to say it's a wonderful thing to have a beautiful home or homes. A wonderful thing to have a beautiful home which just escaped the fire in Santa Barbara. And guess what else?
Stephanie Miller.
Been there. Been to Oprah's house, too, and for the Obama fundraiser
thing. It's huge, isn't it?
Oh, $50 million or something.
Huge.
But you couldn't get anywhere near the house. I couldn't actually see the house.
Not. Oh, okay.
No, there were snipers, and if you got too close, Oprah would shiv you. You only had to be down in the swamp.
Or she'd have Gail shiv you.
Exactly. She would have Gail cut you if you got anywhere close to the house.
And Gail will cut you.
And you could tell that everybody only went because they wanted to see Oprah's house, and you would take binoculars. People were like, wait, I want to see it. You couldn't. And she said, it's really fantastic to have your own jet. Anyone who says it isn't is lying to you. The jet thing is really good. All right, Oprah.
No, don't speak. Don't speak. Don't speak. No.
It's kind of like...
Silence. Don't speak.
Michelle Obama, what was it, last week, said, yeah, it's really great to have a whole slew of personal assistants at your disposal. It's like, okay.
Just hush in this economy, okay?
Yeah, don't say that, Michelle. Come on.
Wow, the drug-addled gas bag was silent on a topic, finally. Did you notice he didn't say anything about Wanda Sykes? Although comedian Wanda Sykes' remark on Saturday about Rush Limbaugh continued to generate buzz, he avoided the topic on his Monday
broadcast.
Interesting. I love this. During his show Monday, his only allusion to the dinner was he called it showbiz for ugly people. That's what politics is. Rush Limbaugh presumably calling someone else ugly.
That's funny.
I thought radio was showbiz for ugly people.
Hey. All right. Yeah. 28 minutes after the hour. People asking some hard questions about Afghanistan. We will talk about that as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I'm a bitch. I'm not a bitch. Oh, I'm a biatch, baby.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 33 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1 to the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. It's that time of the day when we say, hola, ¿qué tal? It's Sanchez in Montebello. Adios, mi amigo. Hello, Sanchez.
Oh, wrong line.
Wrong line. Pardon me. Adios mio, Sanchez.
Adios.
For the Mamacita y los Mookies show is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and by Patron Reposado Tequila, makers of the new Patron Reposado Edible Bikini.
Thank you.
Hey, Mamacita y los Mookies, you guys were mentioning Pakistan earlier, but before I get to that, could I quickly, not only do I send a shout-out to our friends Frangela for their appearance today on Oprah.
Oprah, tune into Oprah today, Frangela.
Yes, indeed. I hear they might be wearing their white leather jumpsuits. Is that true?
Oh, well, one will have to tune in to find out.
They're going to be on via Skype.
So
it's going to be like a webcam kind of thing.
Okay, well, at least we'll see half a white leather jumpsuit. Okay, cool. Also, another member of the Frangela KTLK family I want to send a shout-out to quickly, Miranda, Frangela's call screener producer. She just scored the call screener producer position for the Randy Rhoads Show.
Wahoo! Yay!
Yes, congratulations to her.
My Laverne is back on the radio.
Yes, indeed.
On many of these fine stations, tune in. All right, go ahead.
Good times again. Actually, when you were mentioning Pakistan earlier, and Jim, I want you, if you have any insight on this particular item here. I attended something over the weekend here. The Winter Soldier Southwest from the Iraq Veterans Against the War and Veterans for Peace. On top of talking about, like, more funding for the troops as far as PTSD and other issues as far as, like, the issues of the Iraq War and Afghanistan, mm-hmm. One little tidbit that I've been searching all over the internet about is what one Iraq vet told the audience on Saturday is that we actually already have troops. And I'm not talking about drones. I'm not talking about bombings in the country of Pakistan, but we actually have troops already in Pakistan. This is according to one of the Iraq vets that mentioned it mm-hmm. on the weekend. Jim, any comment about that?
No.
He'll take no further questions.
I really don't know what they're up to. I would assume we're fighting along with the Pakistani army to keep the Taliban out of Islamabad and away from the nukes. And
that there was someone that did know about such things that could chime in at this particular moment. What? Who is it, Chris?
Representative Chris Van Hollen from the great state of Maryland.
Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning, Stephanie. Great to be with you.
Thank you, sir. Well, you know, since we're on the subject, Congressman, chime in here on Pakistan and Afghanistan. A lot of concern about what's going on over in that side of the world. I mean, I know senators on both sides of the aisle aren't exactly sure what our plans are.
Well, obviously, this is a major topic of discussion. I happen to be born in Karachi, Pakistan. My father was in the Foreign Service, and we lived in different parts of the world, including South Asia. And I've tried to follow these issues closely over the years and have some legislation on creating economic opportunity zones within Pakistan and Afghanistan. But I think the reason the president is on the right track overall is he understands that military power alone won't solve this problem, which is why he is focused as part of his strategy on economic elements as well as diplomatic and political accommodations where possible with those elements who are not al-Qaeda but may be willing at some point to reach a kind of settlement in the area. But there's no doubt that at the moment the Taliban in Pakistan has been on the move. I do believe that after the meetings they held in Washington here with President Karzai and President Zardari, that the Pakistanis and Afghanis are working more closely together, and that the Pakistanis are finally beginning to take the Taliban threat seriously and finally moving some of their forces off the Indian-Pakistan border and beginning to address the threat right up in the Swat Valley and the other areas in the Northwest Frontier Province. So,
Congressman, did you hear? I don't know if you heard our caller right before you got on was asking about rumors that American troops are in Pakistan.
I don't think there are any American troops in Pakistan. I certainly I'm not aware of any troops in Pakistan. As you know, the Pakistanis have been very clear about the fact that this is a threat that they want to address. It's certainly possible over time that there could be some people who help with police training in Pakistan. So I don't want to suggest that that is not happening or out of the question. But in terms of American combat forces, certainly, to my knowledge, there aren't any of those in Pakistan.
Right. I was curious to get your reaction. I know the new general that's up to be in charge of Afghanistan, Pat Tillman's parents have raised concerns that he was part of mischaracterizing their son's death in Afghanistan. And are your thoughts on that?
Well, I'll have to look into that assertion, and that obviously raises some cause for concern. I've not followed that particular discussion, but I can assure them that we will look into it.
Yeah, I think that's all they're asking for is a careful review. I think he certainly has a lot to recommend him, but that whole incident was a really sad one, really a black mark, I think, for us. So, Congressman, let's talk about the economy. We got more bad news that Social Security and Medicare are going broke before we thought.
Well, we do have bad news, and but the reason the president, President Obama, has been so focused on health care is that he has made it clear that if we don't fix this health care system, both on the private side and the public side, it is really going to damage our economy in the long term. As you know, we spend 18% of our gross domestic product on health care, both in terms of private insurance and Medicare and Medicaid. And if we don't get the cost down throughout the system, it's going to consume a huge amount of GDP in the years ahead, mm-hmm. and it's going to drive Medicare and Medicaid into just unsustainable territory. So we've got to get these costs down. There are a number of good ideas to do that, and we clearly need to focus on those things in order to make sure that we put this economy on a strong long-term footing.
Well, I mean, clearly it is an enormous and complicated problem, healthcare, but I mean, at least I feel like we're on the right track with the healthcare organizations that are, you know, at least trying to come to the table, right, to reduce costs.
Well, that's right. I mean, they've at least made a commitment through their words. Now we just got to see what the deeds are and follow through. And when it comes to Medicare, I mean, just to give you an example, Medicare right now pays for every time a patient shows up at the hospital, regardless of the health outcome. We need to incentivize the system so it's much more geared to making sure that we get the right health outcomes. Until recently, let's say you were to go into the hospital as a Medicare patient because you had a heart problem, and while you were there, something else happened because of inadequate attention in the hospital. Medicare would have paid the hospital to take care of that other problem, too. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, taking mm-hmm. your car to the garage because you got a broken engine, and while your car's there, they break your windshield and ask you to pay for the windshield.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a number of very important reforms we can make in the Medicare system, as well as the whole healthcare system,
right,
to bring down these costs. It's not going to be easy, but I think for the first time, the will is there.
Yep. Wow, this debate, I love this yesterday, some of the proposals, a 3-cent tax on sodas and other sugary drinks, but diet sodas would be exempt. They can kill you just as fast, can't they? And I say this as a Tab fan from the 70s.
Stay away from Stephanie's soda.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're in big trouble.
Congressman Van Hollen, I have to ask you to chime in on this whole torture debate, because I know that you know, we've got a lot of different opinions on this, and Nancy Pelosi is coming under fire. What is your take on what is going on and what should go on?
Well, I think what is definitely going to proceed are these investigations that are taking place in the Senate Intelligence Committee. Dianne Feinstein's committee has been working on this for a while. The House Intelligence Committee is going to be reviewing some of these issues. Speaker Pelosi, as you know, has called for a commission to look into this, but neither the Senate nor the White House seems to want to pursue that particular approach right now. And so I think that we're going to have to allow the Senate Intelligence Committee to do its work. They've been at work on this before it really hit the airwaves, and they intend to do a thorough investigation, and let's see what they have to report.
I hope somebody is saving videotape on Dick Cheney. Just, you know, should it become necessary in any court proceedings, aren't you?
Well, you know, it's unbelievable that, you know, they keep saying they're the party of new ideas, and then they bring out, you know, Newt Gingrich and Dick Cheney, who are, again, trying to scare the American people. You know, yep. I thought that we heard very clearly the testimony from General Petraeus and others that, you know, this country is strong and secure, and that they have great confidence and faith in the strategy that's been laid out by President Obama.
Yeah, I'm glad they're going with the fresh new face of Dick Cheney is for the Republican Party. I think that rebranding is going along stupendously well.
Yeah.
Representative Chris Van Hollen, I'm glad you're the face of the Democratic Party. Thank you so much for taking time for us, as always.
Good to be with you. Thank you, Stephanie. Just two other things
I
do want to point out.
Yes.
We had, on the economy, we had two very important consumer protection mm-hmm. bills in the House last week. One was a consumer bill of rights for credit card, because
credit card
companies are gouging consumers. Another was to empower greater investigations into financial fraud so we can make sure the taxpayer money is being well spent. The Republican leadership in the House voted no.
Oh, my God.
They voted no. They were telling consumers, we're not going to protect you from these abuses. They said, we're not going to provide the resources to go after financial fraud. So I just think it's important that, you know, people understand where they are on these issues.
Still, well, I think we can guess. Party of no. That's where they always
party
start.
Party of no, party of status quo.
And I really try to understand the other side sometimes, Congressman. It's just you sort of, you go, no, you know, insurance for poor kids? No? Okay, why? Like, you try to understand their reasoning, and it never really makes any sense, you know?
Right. Well, that's, but yeah, voting to protect the credit card companies and then voting against the children's health is,
yeah,
doesn't seem to be a winning formula, or the right, or, more importantly, is not the right formula.
Exactly. But they're having more tea parties.
There you go.
All right. Okay. Representative Van Hollen, thanks again. We appreciate it.
Good to be with you.
There he goes. Representative Chris Van Hollen.
Yeah, all that stuff is about compassion and empathy. What? And all that hooey.
And as we all know, that is French and gay. Health insurance for poor children. 44 minutes after the hour. Hey, guess what?
What?
The boner finally has a comeback for that tan joke the president made.
It's hilarious.
It took him a while, but it's worth waiting for.
That was 5 days ago.
We didn't hear it. Okay, grab a pen. You're going to want to write this down when we come back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
We're an unusual family.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 49 minutes after the hour.
Slender foundation to build a city.
Chris in Santa Fe, New Mexico.
It really is.
You're on the Stephanie Miller Show on our Republican friends. Hello, Chris.
Hi. Yeah, I just had to respond to that BB stacking mouth breather Michael asking what exactly is wrong with conservatism. Well, there's a quick list in history. Let's see, conservatives were the ones during our revolution that actually wanted to be British citizens.
The Tories.
Yeah, they were against women having the vote. They lobbied against child labor laws. There were some conservatives before World War II that actually held rallies for Hitler. Mm-hmm. Look up Lindbergh and the Nazi Bund. They were against the EPA, even though Nixon was the one that introduced it.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, we are not for the indiscriminate use of Nazi analogies, unless you're George Bush's grandfather, who was actually a Nazi.
Yes, Prescott right. Bush. Yes. The point is, I'm a Democrat because I think people are more important than money. But I'm a liberal because my nation, the greatest nation on earth, was founded in an enormous liberal move, breaking away from the most powerful monarchy on the face of the earth in 1776, was a liberal jump. That's how we came to be.
Exactly.
These people don't understand it.
Chris, you are the smartest boy in class.
Thank you.
Okay. David, not you.
Oh.
David in Indiana on Miss California. Hi, David.
Hi, Steph. Hi, guys.
Hi. Yeah, speaking of students of history, give the grandfather in the Battle of the Bulge thing again before we go to David on Indiana. Let's take a history lesson, shall we, Jim, on the meaning of free speech and what our grandfather fought for. And
My grandfather served under General Patton during World War II. He never spoke about the Battle of the Bulge that he participated in as a rifleman. On April 19th,
I love that show.
I exercised my freedom of speech.
Oh, no.
And I was punished for doing so.
Huh?
This should not happen in America.
Yeah.
It undermines the constitutional rights for which my grandfather fought for.
For which he fought for. It doesn't mean you can't be criticized.
You don't have the right to disagree with me.
You bastards are lucky I even performed for you.
Why do you hate freedom?
Hi, David in Indiana.
Hi, Steph. Hi, guys.
Hi,
pleasure to talk with you.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, I feel a little sorry for her due to the fact probably since she's been about 4 years old, she's never heard the word no. Everything she's done, she's been daddy's little princess and was probably raised by one of those psycho Paget moms, and she's never heard the word no or any constructive criticism.
Yeah, exactly.
And then she sticks her mug in the mainstream media, and somebody has something negative to say about the princess.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh
you can't have my crown! No! Okay.
You're a Nazi if you disagree with me, because my grandfather fought for my right not to be criticized for anything.
Whatever.
All right. She's got it tough. It's like working at a coal mine.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Jim, you ready for it? So the president made that hilarious joke about John Boehner being a person of color. It's a color not found in nature.
What up?
<It's>
What up, John?
asked to comment about Barack Obama's joke, his spokesman initially declined, saying, I can see no reason to discuss it. Press further. Eventually, how many days later are we now?
Five.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Are you ready?
Uh-huh.
Get the slide whistle ready, though, because this was worth waiting for. If leader Boner had a nickel for every time he's heard a joke like that, he could make a serious dent in Washington Democrats' record-setting deficit. Just like that, off the top of his head, five days later. All right, then.
The one we inherited from George Bush?
Yeah, uh-huh, yeah.
He's not very quick, is he?
No, not very quick on the uptake.
If I had a dollar every time I heard someone reject the undercoating on the extended warranty.
You know why I think it took so long? You know why.
Why?
He was having a man crying fit. He was having a man blubber over it. The president!
President insulted my bronzer! It was at the top of his list to insult my bronzer!
They had to pull him out of a pool of his own tears before they could get a response.
Brown-stained tears.
All right.
Orange-stained tears.
Of all the things Dick Cheney has said recently, Jim, I found this one interesting. He told one interviewer, I went through the Iran-Contra hearings and watched the way administration and officials ran for cover and left the little guys out to dry. I was bound to determine that wasn't going to happen this time.
The little guys?
Isn't he admitting, I mean, that was illegal also, trading the arms for hostages.
Yeah.
So he's sort of admitting...
He needs to shut his big yap.
Wow.
So the little guys sold arms to Iran, huh?
He said, I'll do my damnedest to defend anybody out there, be they the agency carrying out the orders or the lawyers who wrote the opinions. We are, like we said yesterday, at I ordered the code red. We are at I... You're damn right I ordered the code red!
Damn right I ordered the code red.
You don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about at parties, you want me on that wall. You need me on that wall.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and meanwhile, the Republican Party continues its, Michael Steele. Mitt Romney fired back at Michael Steele for saying that he didn't get the presidency because he's Mormon. He said, sometimes when you shoot from the hip, you miss the target. This is one of those times, a Romney spokesperson, in a now familiar post-gaffe ritual, Steele's aide.
What the chairman meant to say.
Sorry if they were misinterpreted. Chairman Steele believes Mitt Romney is a respected and influential. John McCain on the...
But I think the fact that Mitt Romney succeeded as much as he did and remains an important and central figure in our Republican Party, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him run again, is a testimony, I think, to the inclusiveness of the Republican Party.
Inclusiveness of the Republican Party?
That's
we
it goes
like
together.
The Mormons.
Like peanut butter and jelly.
Mormons and Christians.
Sarah Palin has signed a book deal. Any right-wing idiot you'd like to hear from less than Miss California, it would be Sarah Palin! But she's writing a book to correct the record and blah,
whatever.
Blah, blah.
I think they're just going to print the first manuscript, the first draft, you know.
A lot of also twos. I can't wait for the book on tape. All right. Meanwhile, we got us another Republican fight heating up in Florida, where the formerly bachelor governor, Charlie Crist, will have a challenger in Marco Rubio. Let's skip to 14. Marco Rubio is he's sort of the darling of the conservatives in Florida.
What is Republicanism in the 21st century? Is it to be more like the Democrats? Is our theme going to be, if you can't beat them, join them? I disagree with that. I think the more we're like the Democratic Party, the less of a reason there is for us to exist as a movement.
Bill Kristol on Britt Baer on the 2010 race.
I think given that the mood in 2010 next year will be pretty anti-establishment, anti-Washington, I think some of these challengers have a pretty good shot. I think Rubio has a real shot against Crist. I would prefer him personally. I think either could win a general election. I think Sestak could beat Spector in Pennsylvania. I don't think the Democrats in Pennsylvania are all thrilled to have Arlen Specter defecting, but he's not really with them on a bunch of issues. I think Sestak is an attractive younger congressman, just elected for the first time, 2 years ago, I think. He could win. I think Trey Grayson could take out Jim Bunning in Kentucky. So I think it could be an interesting year, much more than usual, with upsets in both parties in primaries and some fresh blood, which I think is not a bad thing.
Oh, we'll talk about all that tomorrow. That's it for us today. We will see you tomorrow with Elvira live in studio on the Stephanie Miller Show.